Welcome to the Pop Culture Junkie Podcast. Speaking of pop culture, what if you could go to college for a degree in pop culture? Well, you can. This week, our special guest is Dr. Jeffrey A. Brown, chair of the Department of Pop Culture at Bowling Green State University in Bowling Green, Ohio.
Fill me up with a barrel full of monkeys as I hate being bored. I hate being bored. Load me up because I'm such a junkie. Every day all I want is more. So entertain me, entertain me right now. I need it there, I need it there. So entertain me, entertain me right now. I need it there, I need it there.
Thank you for joining us once again, recording as we do at Olympus Games in Mesa, Arizona, for the Pop Culture Junkie Podcast. I am Shauna, and I am joined, as always, with my fellow junkies.
Alex.
Nicole.
And Haley.
Today, we are happy to welcome our guest this week, Dr. Jeffrey Brown, a.k.a. just Jeff, who chairs the Department of Popular Culture at Bowling Green State University, which is the only institution in the United States to have one. Dr. Brown's research activities include gender and body issues in film, corporate media culture, the role of vision in popular culture, urban ethnography, and comic book studies. Dr. Brown has published such books as Black Superheroes, Milestone Comics and Their Fans, and Love, Sex, Gender, and Superheroes, amongst many others. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
This is super exciting, having a professor. I mean, I think we all consider ourselves, you know, junkies, but there's a bit of a step between a pop culture junkie and an actual professor.
No, I feel you. We're smart today.
Right.
We're so smart, you guys. Oh, my God. So why did you choose to study popular culture, Jeff?
Because I love it. Because it's cool. Because it's what matters. I always tell my students, it's what matters the most in our lives. And everybody goes, oh, it's just popular culture. It's just movies and TV shows and comic books and stuff. I'm like, yeah, but that's what shapes us. That's what makes us into who we are. And my background is in anthropology, which is the study of cultures. And I was fascinated with our own culture and what makes us rather than, you know, somebody living in the outback of Australia or something. Nothing wrong with studying those, but I don't really care about them. I care about us and what's going on. And, you know, students are like, it doesn't really matter. I'm like, yes, it kind of does. You know, if you can, I'll throw out things like, I'll ask them, who's the Secretary of State? And I'll have 300 students in class, not a single person knows. Or at one point, I even got right up to who's the vice president, and they had no idea.
Oh, God.
Which was embarrassing. And I said, okay, but now what's the name of Batman's butler? And everybody knows who
Alfred.
That is. Exactly. I got right down to what's Batman's dog, and half the class.
Does Batman have a dog? I know Superman has a dog.
I was going to say Super Pets comes out.
Yeah.
I thought you guys were junkies. I've been misled here. Nobody knows Batman's dog?
Haley, Batman's dog.
Bat dog.
Oh.
That would track, honestly.
Right.
That would track.
I believe it.
No, Ace the Bat Hound.
Ace the Bat Hound.
He sounds like a good boy.
Okay. I'm going to kind of just go in kind of hard here because I have, this just popped in my mind. So we know that you have studied gender and body issues in film. What is one film or TV show in, say, like the 90s or 80s that you think you would want to change in order to show more diversity in today's day and age?
Ooh. Oh, we're getting that's
deep
a good one.
Off the back.
Nicole's right in.
I don't know why that popped in my head. I'm just very curious.
Because like, we're watching a lot of 80s and 90s movies recently on the podcast, and a lot of them were like, this is a great movie. Except
if you ignore the misogyny.
The misogyny and the homophobia and the eating disorders.
I only bring it up because I know the show Friends, which is one of my favorite shows. Marta Kaufman, who is one of the producers on that, she was coming out and saying how she believes it was a problem that she misgendered one of her characters. I was just wondering if you had anything in mind, like off the top of your head, that you think would.
Boy, just about everything made in the 80s and 90s.
That's true.
I mean, the first thing that popped in my head was Bill and Ted, because I watched that with my kids a little while ago, and there's a no homo moment where they hug each other and quickly go into no homo. And it's unfortunate because otherwise it's a great male-male friendship, supportive, not macho kind of storyline. And it's just hard to see that moment in there. But boy, Legally Blonde, maybe.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Just about anything where the black police partner is the sidekick rather than the main hero, where they're obviously differentials there, I think. Well, it's a good question because there's so many.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true.
There are so many. So you mentioned your background was in anthropology. Is that what you like originally went to school for, got a degree for?
Yeah, that's what my undergraduate, my BA is in anthropology, and my master's is actually in popular culture here where I now teach. And then my PhD is in anthropology.
So popular culture was already offered at the university where you currently
yeah,
are.
Yeah, the department's coming up on its 50th anniversary next
year. Oh, wow. What?
Dude, I went, I got the wrong degree. I have a bachelor's degree in psychology, and I don't do a damn thing with it. Maybe when I was a bartender.
I'm a dropout.
I always tell my students, it doesn't matter what you get your degree in, though. I mean, you're not coming out and being a psychologist with just a BA or whatever, and they all just help you learn how to think. I mean, that's really one of the things, just to be critical about the world around
you. Yeah, that's why I feel like this is so interesting, because so many times I find myself watching these movies and thinking, wow, this has a lot to do with what's happening now, or things that I like feel every once in a while. And you're right. These are, I don't know. I feel like pop culture as a form of study is really dope because it really gives you the chance to dive into society and ways that people already relate to and watch, and more people can even kind of like connect with, because if it's pop culture, it's things hopefully that most people have already been watching or
invested in. Yeah.
Yeah. And because we enjoy it, it can be so much more instructive. You know, it can be helpful. It can be hurtful. Like if you're talking real world events and all the politically right now and issues of Black Lives Matters and police and difficulties with that. I mean, the best thing I've seen about race relations in the U.S. recently has been Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Oh, my God. Right.
Disney Plus miniseries. They dealt with some very controversial issues in an entertaining and very thoughtful way.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel it was light.
It was light.
In my opinion. What's that movie that came out? Queen and Slim? It goes really into like police brutality and racial profiling. And I mean, at the end of it, they die because they got shot up.
Right.
You know. Yeah. But, you know, just going back to things that I feel there are perspectives that not everyone sees or experiences. And pop culture gives you that chance to really dissect those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it can open up the door. It can get the conversation started. But thinking critically about it is the important part, you know, because there's going to be the ones that are negative or, you know, have a different angle. But then you get to question, why do I not like that angle? Why do I like this angle? Mm-hmm. What's the history behind this kind of stuff?
That's cracking me up right now, thinking of like The Boys TV show.
It's so good.
It's so good. And then all of a sudden, I mean, I guess if we're getting a little controversial, all of a sudden conservatives are like watching it and they're like, wait, is this show making fun of us?
I would actually say
that's a great
example right now.
Yeah.
Because I feel like The Boys just revolves everything that we're like socially conscious of. Mm-hmm. And things that are like happening in the world, and somebody relates to it.
Yep.
Somebody might understand it and gives them, like, you know, going back to seeing other perspectives, gives them a chance to see where someone else that they might not be familiar with comes from.
And to fictionalize sort of the Trump rallies and you know, the MAGA stuff within a superhero context. Is, you know, it's an interesting take on it. I mean, they come right out. Well, they don't call them Fox, right? And The Boys, but it's a Vox instead of Fox Network.
Oh, my God.
You know, a lot
I
of
just
criticism.
Got that.
Oh, dude. Yeah. This is why he's the professor.
Wow. See, I don't. Yeah.
I can tell the difference between an F and a V. Yeah.
Since we're talking deep stuff, I always felt like growing up when I would talk about TV and movies, or even when I got into college. So I was an education major, an English education major. So I went to school with a bunch of kids at ASU who were like, I've read all of Sylvia Plath and that makes me better than you, you know? And when I would talk about TV and movies and comic books, there was always this kind of inherent like, that's childish or, you know, that's not really art. So you're not as sophisticated as a person who has read Chaucer or whatever. And I guess my question for you is, what would you say to that? Because I really feel like TV now is at its best. It's better than it's ever been. And I feel like there's so much to dive into and so much sophistication there. But even still, I'm like, I have a pop culture podcast. And people are like, that's nice. Mm. So what would you say to that to someone who's like, I want to major in pop culture? And their mom's like, that's not a real major, honey.
Yeah, we get that a lot. I still, you know, I'll have other professors look at me and they're like, oh, you do popular culture. And I'm like, yeah, what do? You Shakespeare? So you're a fanboy for Shakespeare, you know?
That was pop culture at the time.
It was. It's the same
thing. Was pop culture at the time. Exactly. And it's just outdated pop culture. And mm-hmm. So, you want to see Shakespeare? Are you talking about Leonardo DiCaprio speaking in Shakespeare language or Keanu Reeves or, you know, because everybody's redoing it in popular culture to make it acceptable. I think pointing out the similarities, a lot of people do that between sort of classic literature or plays and contemporary television shows or whatever is one way to do it. I always take the approach that it's popular culture that matters more because it affects our lives. I mean, you know, Moby Dick is a great story. I love it, but it's not telling us anything about the world we live in right now. Mm-hmm. It's maybe a great metaphor for things, but it's not telling us as much as the Marvel movies. And why are they so popular? Why do those speak to millions and millions of people? You know, why does something as weird as Downton Abbey, and I shouldn't say weird, but it it's an unusual fit for an American audience, but then it becomes hugely popular. So what is it about that? How's that shaping us? I always just tell them it's the most important thing you'll do. I tell my students, you tell your biology professor, you know, what he does is nice, but it doesn't matter nearly as much as studying popular culture does.
So in your curriculum, do you find yourself connecting or like bringing back the Shakespeare and comparing it to pop culture today and finding its similarities or differences?
We do that sometimes. I mean, we cover a lot of stuff. One of the things I'll point out, like in the introduction class, is how popular culture hasn't stood the test of time yet, and some of it will, but the similarities, you know, everybody of 350 students in the large lecture class, and like, how many of you have read Harry Potter? And they've all read Harry Potter. And it's basically Dickens, you know, it's Charles Dickens children's literature. So it's super exciting. You know, how many of you are Justin Bieber fans or whatever? And they're amazing commonplaces and things that people will fight over.
I'm sure the debates in there get intense sometimes.
People take their popular culture seriously.
Oh, we do.
Yeah, I'll ask them just generally, okay, were you Disney kids or Nickelodeon kids?
Yo, that's a serious
question.
The
room is usually split 50-50, and they hate the other ones.
No, yeah, I'm a Nickelodeon kid.
Nickelodeon.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about everybody else there? Disney kids?
Disney, yeah.
Disney? I was both, because that's when Hannah Montana came out, but I was also watching SpongeBob still, so I was torn between the both. Mm.
See, that's unusual. It's usually one more than the other.
Yeah, I would say I was pretty split, if I'm going to be honest.
Well, see, the thing is, Disney costs more. I had to was there ever the B side and the A side? Nickelodeon was on the A side. That was cheaper for my cable subscription.
Okay, that makes sense.
The B side, I didn't have.
Okay.
So yeah, I was like Disney Channel original movies. That was like my thing.
Oh, I did like those.
That was like my thing.
Nickelodeon was a little edgier for me, like Ren and Stimpy. Like I felt like I was watching something I wasn't supposed to be watching, but I got away with it because it was on Nickelodeon.
See, I was the little kid who was watching like Mad About You and Frasier and The Nanny.
Oh, I loved Frasier.
Like that's what I watched when I was a little kid.
Were you watching this with your parents?
Yeah, parents or siblings. Yeah, I'm the youngest of five. So then when I would go tune in to Nickelodeon, it felt like a kids bop
so
version
juvenile.
Of grown-up shows. Mm, yeah. I was like, why am I going to watch all that when I can watch Saturday Night Live?
So, Jeff, like what about Bowling Green State University drew you in and why should people go there?
Because it is the only place in the U.S. where you can study popular culture. It's a very unique program. I mean, a lot of universities have media studies programs or cultural studies programs, but they have different histories, different traditions. You know, the media studies will tend to be radio, television, film, and they're sometimes combined with, you know, how to make television or, you know, very practical camera angles and so on. We're much more interested in how it culturally affects people and how it shapes the world. So it's a unique perspective. And we're also not pigeonholed in the way that a film studies program is. I always tell prospective students, if you're only interested in movies, we're not the place for you. You'll be frustrated because when you come here, you're going to have to talk about popular books and comics and podcasts and advertising and all kinds of things. We're much more interested in the holistic idea of popular culture.
God, that's so cool. I wish I would have gone to college in Ohio.
What types of careers do, like, so someone comes and majors in pop culture, or they get their degree. What kind of careers do you see these graduates going into?
Going into a lot of areas. Let's see, off the top of my head, we've had people go to museums a fair amount. We have people in traditional museums, but then also places like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum in Cleveland, the new Motion Picture Museum in Los Angeles, the Museum of Popular Culture in Seattle. But a lot of people get into things like advertising, marketing, some work in within the media. We actually have a graduate who's working with the Grammys and one working with the Emmys right now. Publishing houses, people get into that. People go in a lot of different directions.
That's cool. Because I mean, like, when it comes to studying pop culture, I feel like it's really kind of like studying the psyche of just people. Well, I don't, like I said, I'm a dropout, so I don't really know English. But I don't know. I think of what sort of career path I would take. And I'm thinking, you know, just like you're saying, like, maybe I'm a curator, or even just I'm a production manager at some place, or I'm a psychiatrist. These are all different avenues that I can take my knowledge in pop culture, my knowledge in just understanding time. Mm-hmm. I keep talking about how I'm a time travel theorist. And the reason I'm a pop culture junkie is because for me, when I see pop culture, I see a reflection of time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I feel like it's an opportunity to be able to take what we watch or what we experience and bring it to life, or at least bring it to our lives, because it's our movie.
Yeah. And it's a way to look at things, you know, the stories that are being told in popular culture, but also sort of the business side, the structure of it and how that shapes us. I mean, time has become an important issue in the last 15 years or so, that people are critically looking at time through the media. I mean, we no longer have this linear sense of time. You know, not only do we have, you know, on demand and live TV streaming.
I think that's really interesting, the concept of time in pop culture. And it just, it's like, I mean, when you watch anything, it's like a time capsule. It covers what was important to people at that time. I mean, and even when we watch some of these movies that we were talking about earlier, like with Nicole's question, like sometimes we say, oh, they were products of their time. There's so much that can be improved. And then there's a chance to see how far we've come, how much work we still have to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And things that may have been only 10 years ago that now seem, you know, homophobic or ableist or whatever, you know, that how has our culture changed?
Yep.
Speaking of time, we had Brad Perry on our show a while ago, and he was asking us, where do we see pop culture going? What is the predictions for the future? And we know, obviously, just within the last few years, like you were talking about, you know, streaming has completely changed the way we consume media, you know, TikTok and Reels or whatever, you know, short form videos has changed the way we consume media. What are your predictions for the future? Where do you see popular culture trending right now, and maybe how it might change in the near future?
Wow, good question. I think it's getting much more niche marketed, that we're, as there's more channels and more production companies and more outlets for content, they can really hone in on specific markets. And I think the internet has made a huge direction change there by being able to track, you know, what you're buying, what you're looking at, and so on. And I think it's really becoming much more niche market oriented.
Yeah. I'm actually disappointed you said that, because it feels very real. Because like before, because just, you know, a few seconds ago before I heard you speak about this, I was thinking about, oh, this is great. It gives opportunity for people to just say whatever they feel and do whatever they want. But you're right. I feel like now listening to that, people want to be able to access as many people as possible. And one way to do that is to just do the niche.
Yeah.
Just do what everyone else is doing.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up like tracking people on the internet and like what you're buying and what you're, because it's not ratings anymore. It's like they used to track, you know, Nielsen boxes and how many households are tuning in. And now it's how much money are you spending? What ads are you clicking on? And, you know, just, I know we've all talked about like the Instagram updates and how it's just like you have to scroll through 50 ads before you see a single
one of your friends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I do think, you know, there's plus and minuses there, in that there's never ending content. I mean, it's like you can't possibly ever run out of content.
So just Jeff, what do you think about originality? Like, do you think there's still space for originality in this niche world?
Yes, absolutely. I think there's always going to be originality. I think people come up with new stuff all the time that is amazing. And I think the technology itself, as much as it can allow the niche marketing and getting advertisers to specific consumers, I think the technology can allow an awful lot of creativity. I mean, the things that people can do as individuals with their phones nowadays to produce their own content is amazing. Having said that, popular culture is always very formulaic and it's always been very traditional. And it's, you know, it's called show business for a reason, because it's a business and people replicate things that make money. You know, if a young adult book turns into a popular Hunger Games movie, then every young adult book gets turned into a movie. Mm-hmm. So that the formula nature of popular culture is always going to be there, but then there's always variations and changes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm not too worried about it.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Thank you. Cause you got my hopes up after destroying.
So I do have a question. I just want to know, what is or has been your favorite topic that you've covered while teaching?
Oh, that's a tough one. So I do a course, since superhero movies have gotten so huge, I do a course on superhero live action film and television, which the students love because they've seen everything and are excited to talk about it.
So separate from animation?
Separate from animation, something to bring it in. It's just such a big topic. So we'll talk about that. I try to, depending on how many weeks there are in the term, I'll throw in, you know, let's look at animation from, boy, the 70s Super Friends shows, mm-hmm. and Spider-Man in the 60s to Teen Titans Go and so on.
I love Teen Titans Go so much.
I was going to say, don't make fun of Teen Titans Go.
I love it.
No, it's amazing.
So much. Yeah.
It is. It's brilliant. But yeah, covering all those, and the students love that topic. I also do a class repeatedly on action movies and the theme, and another one on women in action movies specifically. Mm. And let's see, one of the more popular ones is the female body in feminist film theory.
Oh my God.
Where we talk about different ways that women are represented.
That's deep.
Particularly mm-hmm. bodily.
You know, I thought you were just going to say one of the most popular ones is the female body. And I'm like, I wonder why, Jeff. I wonder why people are enrolling in that course.
It's true. And the first time I taught it, people were like, oh, well, of course people are going to take a course called the female body. And I'm like, yeah, but Some men could stand
to take more courses.
Honestly, though.
Are there diagrams involved?
I'm just kidding.
We do talk about pornography and how bodies are represented there and how desires represented, but also, you know, just issues of weight and ethnicity, cyborg female bodies, all kinds.
Oh my God, I need cool. this class.
I know, yeah. I'm dying. So I'm drooling over this class.
Are these courses available online or only in person?
Only in person. I mean, the last couple of years with COVID,
yeah.
online. One of the things that I do want to get going in the next few years is a online version of our master's program.
Oh, I would love that. Sign me up.
Yes, we are.
I already have a master's, but I'll take another.
I dropped out of my master's program. This sounds more interesting.
We'll just pay you under the table to do a Zoom class every week. Yeah.
Sure. Come on in.
Welcome back to the Pop Culture Junkie Podcast. Today we are joined by Dr. Jeffrey A. Brown, who is the chair of the Department of Popular Culture at Bowling Green State University in Bowling Green, Ohio.
Where we're all going to move so we can take his courses.
Yeah. Sorry, Dad, if you're listening, I'm moving to Ohio tomorrow.
I'm sure that the property values are way better in Ohio than they are in Arizona right now.
Probably.
I should probably talk to my husband about moving to Ohio before I make this commitment.
I mean, we know someone that's living there now, so.
True. That's true. We already got the hookup.
Also LeBron James.
We're all crashing at Jeff's house.
Also LeBron James.
So, being the Pop Culture Junkie Podcast, obviously we have to talk to you about what you're into right now. So, what are you binging right now? What's on your Netflix queue? What are you into?
Oh, let's see. Boy, Netflix just watched The Gray Man, which I enjoyed.
I enjoyed it too.
Mixed reviews.
Ryan Gosling and Chris Evans with a mustache.
That's what I was going to say. You got to mention the mustache.
And it's Chris Evans' mustache.
Yeah.
It's three bits.
Yeah, it was great. I read the book a few years ago, the first one. I guess it's a long series now. I only read the first one, but I enjoyed the movie. It was a good adrenaline rush.
Right.
I was happy.
What's your favorite streaming service if you could only pick one and all the others go away?
Oh, wow. Good. That's tough. Right now, I'd say Hulu.
Mm. Okay. Controversial choice.
I know. I know. But I've been watching a lot of older shows, and Hulu's been great for that. I've been going back and watching Taxi and Cheers and a few of those things with my kids, and it's been fun.
Yeah. They have a lot
and
of
they've
shows
got Bob's that... Burgers.
Yeah.
That's true.
I would have to go with Netflix because they have Stranger Things, and it's the only place I could access it, my favorite thing.
I dig Hulu, though, because, like, there's literally TV shows that don't happen anymore that you can watch on there. But now, actually, Netflix is doing that with, like, The Good Place.
They used to have a lot more of that. Yeah.
Yeah, all like, that.
But, well, then Peacock pulled them away.
Right, yeah.
I might choose, I don't know, because I agree. Hulu has Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and that's my favorite TV show of all time. And I don't think it's on Netflix right now. I think it used to be, but they took it off. Mm-hmm. But Netflix just has such good content.
I don't know. Hulu has that, like, cable TV feel.
Like, kind of does.
Prime is pretty dope, too, though. Oh, man.
Even
I
when I'm watching Netflix, it feels a little more futuristic, like a little more.
Feature film. Yeah.
Feature film, yeah. I don't know.
Netflix is great for foreign television shows and movies, too. Things that you haven't heard of that are great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
wonderful. What else are you geeking out?
Oh, okay. Right, let's see. The old man is oh, what's his name? Bridges.
Jeff Bridges? All
is
of us.
Jeff Bridges?
We're all wait.
Gosh, so many Jeffs. Can't keep
so many Jeffs. Yeah, it is Jeff Bridges.
Yeah. It's a total macho fantasy, right? The old guy turns out, you know, comes out of retirement. He used to be basically James Bond and goes back into spy life. But it's very well done. Mm. Very well done. So
it's like Taken.
What else? Yeah, it's like Taken. It's like Taken in a lot of ways. The Ms. Marvel.
Oh, I love
watching that.
I loved Ms. Marvel.
I did too.
Yeah,
boy, lots of different things.
So do you watch all of the Disney Plus Marvel shows then?
Yeah, I watch all of those.
He's a professor of pop culture. What kind of question is that?
He gets paid to watch literally everything.
I can write him off of my taxes. It's tough, though. You know what? That's one where you joke and you think, oh, it must be fun. You could just watch all these things. It's hard to keep up. There's so much out there. And I'm in my 50s now. And so I get these students who are 18, 19, and they're like, hey, you heard about this TikTok dance? I'm like, no, the fuck are you talking about? I don't know that.
That's so true, though. I teach high school, and when I first started, I started teaching 12 years ago, and at the time, I was 24, and my students were 17, 18, and we watched a lot of the same things, and we shared some, you know, common interests, and
but then
now
the gap keeps getting bigger.
The gap keeps getting bigger, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, I keep getting older, and the kids, you know, stay the same age. But the gap grows wider, and what's so bizarre to me is now my students, like, they don't watch TV, like, at all. They just
YouTube
don't.
And TikTok.
It's YouTube. Yep. It's streaming. Uh-huh. It's like streamers, like people playing video games.
Like Twitch streamers.
And it's TikTok. And so I will come in thinking Stranger Things is the biggest thing in the entire world. Everybody's watching it. And they're like, no one watches that, miss. I'm like, what?
What?
what are you watching? They're like, Nicole, this person doing their makeup on TikTok.
Have you watched?
Oh, my God.
Have I watched
Stranger Things?
What?
No. Here I'm telling you.
I watched the first season in college, but don't remember a single thing.
Nicole is our link to the youth.
Keep us young, Nicole.
Yeah, everything that you said, like just TikTok and YouTube, I'm like, that's literally calling me out right now, except for a few couple shows that I watch.
I do have a question for Jeff. I don't mean to come for you, Nicole.
Oh, please do.
Nicole is our reality TV junkie. So she knows a lot about the... I was going to say Desperate Housewives, but that's not even their
name.
The Real Housewives.
The Real Housewives.
And like, where do you see, I mean, you must follow like Kardashian culture throughout your course. And I mean, just people famous for the sake of being famous, right? The Paris Hilton back in the day. I mean, what is your take on just kind of the influence that, you know, the Kardashians have on pop culture in general?
Well, yeah, the Kardashians are interesting because I'll ask my students how many of them are Kardashian fans, and they don't like it. They don't like the Kardashians. They put them down. They scoff at them. Like, somebody's watching them.
But they know everything about them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But they do, though, because then I'll say something like, oh, you know, Kim got robbed the other day. And they're like, oh, yeah, it was so-and-so. It broke into their house. Like, I thought you didn't like them. What's going on?
Let me just put it out there. I'm not really a Kardashian fan, but...
But you know what's going on with them at all times.
Yeah, I follow them.
You know all their names. Yeah, that's a... That, I think that's like the big difference.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't tell you any... I can tell you more about O.J. Simpson than I can about the Kardashians.
Oh, yeah, same.
You know what I mean? That's where I quit caring. But,
yeah,
at some point.
Yeah, but reality television is a lot of fun. I mean, it's interesting. It's kind of on the way out right now. Cheaper to produce. Everybody felt like they could be a star. I think it's blended into sort of the TikTok and influencer.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Fantasy.
Yeah.
You can all become famous.
Yeah, YouTube, TikTok. I do appreciate kind of like the multi-generational blend that like TikTok has. Like when you see these, these like memes or like these trends where people are using older music to do their today dances.
Kate Bush, that's what I was gonna say. Kate Bush, I mean, like, there's so much stuff that older generations either made popular and relevant back then and now is being brought like back, and it's very like full circle, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, and that's one of the time things, right? Like movies set in the past or TV shows, Stranger Things. And my daughter is a teenager. She's like, oh, yeah, this Kate Bush thing's great. And I'm like, oh, Running Up That Hill? I had that album in high school.
Right, yeah.
And she's like, no, you, because you've always been a nerd. But
that's a compliment.
It's there. And it, you know, it does, it reaches across time. And I think you're right. Using it in TikTok, it and other places, it sort of recycles a lot of this stuff.
That's how fashion is really, too. It's like every 20 years or so. I mean, now we're seeing...
Yeah, mom jeans. I'm like, why did we bring that back?
All the Y2K fashion is starting to come back. This is stuff that, like, we grew up with, but it's
just... Have you guys heard of
cycles?
Daddy shorts?
Like jorts? Like jean shorts? Like
long just, jean
no,
shorts?
No, they're short men's shorts.
Oh, like daddy shorts.
Yeah, like like old school basketball length.
Okay.
I'm here for
like
that.
Like me too.
Yeah, I like that better than... Wow. Jorts, which is what a lot of the high school boys are wearing.
Wait, what?
They're wearing long jean shorts.
Because it's the 90s are back again. Mm-hmm. The 90s and the 2000s are back.
The boys are wearing
grips are back.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny too because my high schoolers are like, this is vintage. And I'm like, just because you got something off a Goodwill rack for $5 doesn't make it vintage.
You're like, I dropped that off last week. It's not vintage.
This is vintage. I'm like, it's a Bugs Bunny shirt from Salvation Army. It's not vintage.
I'm still confused about this jorts thing. I'm over here trying to imagine jorts.
Jean shorts.
All right. And my crotch hurts.
We'll come back to that. Okay, Jeff, I have to ask you this because this is something that I've been talking to pretty much everybody about who will listen to me. Severance. No, I'm just kidding. I would talk about Severance.
I need it.
No, here is my question for you is I was listening to this podcast a while back with Jack White, White Stripes, Jack White. And he was talking about this idea of like death of the expert where, you know, even a decade ago, pre-TikTok, pre-YouTube, you had the only reviews and commentary you would get really about media was from, like, quote-unquote, experts. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. You'd look up official reviews, right? It's the Rotten Tomatoes of it all. But now, anybody with a TikTok, anybody with a YouTube, they can review, they can talk about it. And I know for me, like, every time I see, like, a TikTok video where someone critiques something and they have no semblance of media literacy. Like, you could just tell they completely missed the point of something.
Yeah.
But they're presenting their review as if it's, like, factual. It like, takes a year off my life. You know what I mean?
You've seen this?
And so I see it all the time. Like, with Stranger Things or with Severance or whatever. Whatever I'm geeking out about, I'll go look up a review. And there's someone who just completely misses it, right? Or they'll be like, I fast-forwarded through all these scenes because they were so boring. But here's my critical consensus of the thing. And I'm like, you didn't even watch half the show. So... My question to you is, do you think it is better now that everybody and anybody
can review
and jump in and converse, or is it better left to quote unquote experts?
Good question. A bit of both. I'm going to choose column A and B. I think, and I know that's kind of a non-answer, but it depends on the reviewer, right? Like,
yeah.
I think there's something to be said for getting a I don't want to say uneducated, but a more common sense. Hey, I watch this. I don't have to know the history of this genre of television or whatever. Did I enjoy this show? Yes or no? Here's why. I think that can be incredibly helpful. I do think it gets muddled, though. I mean, there's just so much out there of the person who watched the first 5 minutes and wrote a 6-page post about it or something, you know, where they don't understand it. They didn't watch it all the way through. There's something to be said for the people who are familiar with the genre or the media or whatever it is that are writing the review. Though, having said that, there was also a lot of negatives. I mean, back when it was, you went to the newspaper review, you know, what was the Time magazine review of this movie? That was an awful lot of power for that person to declare it a good movie or a bad movie. There was also a lot of room for pretension. You know, here's my interpretation of it, snootiness, whatever. So I think there's positives and negatives both ways. The problem is you got to wade through an awful lot of shit before you can find out whether it's a decent review or not.
Yeah.
So I think overall, it's a good thing. Yeah. I think if you can get an aggregate, I think that's why people like Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
You can get a broader sense of, okay, most critics liked this or most hated it, which is a better indication than just finding one or two.
Yeah.
Very good point. Mm-hmm. So I know you've had some published works in the past. I want to know what you're working on right now. Is there anything... Oh, God, what is it? Has the school year even started yet? What do you
it's
have?
Almost.
It's so close. What do you have coming up in this school year? Do you have any works coming out soon? What are you looking forward to? What are you working on now?
Oh, okay. I do have another book coming out with University of Texas Press on, we just changed the title. It's Superhero Bodies, Art, Style, and Effect. Basically, it's most people who've studied comics look at them and say, okay, we've gender going on. We've got these macho guys and the muscles and the women in the skimpy outfits, or, you know, ethnicities are shown in stereotypical ways or whatever. And really looking at the stories, this book, what I'm trying to do is look at it in kind of an art history approach, saying, all right, the art in comics is radically different. I mean, when people say comic book art, the first thing you think of is just, you know, silly drawings of guys in tights. And that's not what's out there.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of different styles, retro or noir or grotesque, different ways that a single character like a Batman or a Spider-Man can be shown in all these different styles. And it affects the story. So the book's really looking at these different artistic styles and how they interact with the story to affect things.
That sounds so interesting. Right now,
yeah, I hope it'll be okay. It's interesting. It's a different approach. Right now I'm working on a book. I'm only, let's say, 30% in. On sex symbols in Hollywood movies, primarily from classical film.
What's classic? I mean.
Well, I'm focusing more on less on modern ones. I'm focusing on how sex symbols have been created and developed in Hollywood. You know, the ways that women or men are screened. You know, sort of the effect of close-ups. Soft focus lighting, the storylines that present these actors and actresses as incredibly beautiful people, you know, that they become sex personified in a medium where you can't show sex, but you can show Marilyn Monroe, you know, flirting and talking in a little girl voice and wiggling. And that becomes symbol in our society of what sex is. You know, it sort of stands in. We learn what is sexual from watching Hollywood movies.
What's that statue? The David one? One with the penis out?
Is Michelangelo's David.
Michelangelo? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I think of that. I think of like that in like the classical era and like what sex is. And then we move on to the romantic era and like their like response to the industrial period and there's just a renaissance or whatever. And like modern and postmodern. Like all the different ways that people interpret gender and sex.
Well, and it's really interesting considering, like you were saying, with like media representations of sex, because like you're right in that they couldn't show things in media, but it was happening behind the scenes, you know, and it was like it was so very much a part of what was happening. And then it was like we were making media as if it wasn't happening, right?
Yeah.
Like as if the, you know, which is super interesting to me.
You know, like what's it called? The one that people watch, the Game of Thrones, and there's all the sex there and it's supposed to be
explicit,
like
explicit, yeah.
Way back when.
Oh, right. Well, Bridgerton is the same thing. Like now you have these period pieces where sex is such an important part of it. Whereas in, you know, Jane Austen, like they didn't even touch hands because it was controversial. You know what I mean?
And it's interesting to think who they propped up as the sex symbols of that time and how much watching those sex symbols kind of influenced the body trends of the time. Mm-hmm. So it's like Betty Page kind of had the hourglass shape with the tiny little waist, but then Marilyn was a little, I wouldn't say thick by modern standards, but I mean, she was a little curvier, but then all of a sudden you get into the 90s with the heroin chic and the 60s with Twiggy and just, I mean, now with, you know, bringing it back to the Kardashians, how much they just influence how people are.
What is deemed sexy.
Exactly. Yeah. What is deemed sexy or sexual.
That was one of my favorite parts about, I know I geeked out a lot about the Elvis movie, but that was one of my favorite parts about
his
that.
His pelvic thrusts were sexual.
That's the thing is like when I actually took a class, talking about pop culture studies, I took a class on Elvis in college. And it wasn't until I did that that I really understood, because I would always hear, oh, Elvis was, you know, the sex symbol. And I'm thinking like fat, drugged out Elvis in the 70s in Vegas. And I'm like, that guy, you know? But the movie especially really showed how, I mean, these women are like having orgasms in the audience at a hayride. You know what I mean? And you're like, okay, no, I get it. Like, yeah, I get it. It completely shifted, you know, what was considered sexy and men. And so anyway, I think that's fascinating. Oh, yeah. So,
I mean, that gives me back to blues and its origins from black artists. And, you know, the moves that like Elvis has were somewhat inherited from.
Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah. And I know, like, I'm just thinking back to how race in pop culture and like its evolution and everything.
There's like just so much there to dive into. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're signing up. We're moving to Ohio.
I know. We're going to move to Ohio. We're all just completely invested.
Right. Well, and that intersection is one of the things that we do talk about, sort of the ethnicity and sex symbols and music or whatever. Because, you know, you can go back to Rudolph Valentino and you know, the fact that he was identified as not white exactly is a little off white.
Who's Rudolph Valentino?
Who's Rudolph Valentino? Oh, number one sex symbol. He was the sheep. Valentino is, he was the man. Women loved him. When he died young. Women committed suicide. Fans committed suicide. Thousands and thousands of women lined up to see his casket. They took it on a Cross America tour. Yeah, he like, you know, put Brad Pitt and George Clooney to shame. He was sex.
I mean, listen to his name. Rodolfo Pietro Filiberto Raffaello Giuliani.
That is sexy. Right. That's a sexy name.
The Valentina de... I didn't finish. Okay. There's a whole sentence to his name.
Yeah. So, Jeff, if somebody wants to enroll in your program, how do they do it? When does it start? What do they do?
Oh, they apply to the university and, you know, they come to Ohio. Hopefully we'll get the online version going for the master's degree. But yeah, applying for an undergraduate degree is just like for any other. You know, you fill out the forms, you pay your money, you check off the box that says you want to be a major or a minor in popular culture. We also have the master's, the graduate program, and we get students from all over the world, which is great. And we give them teaching experience as well. And we have funding for a lot of them. We've been fortunate to have several ex-students, graduates of the program who've done well and given back. And so have set up some scholarships. It's been very helpful to a lot of students because school ain't cheap nowadays.
No, it is not.
Do you guys have an expo or like a magazine or some sort of place that like students can put their articles or essays or anything?
Not exactly. There are a few different programs throughout the year where we have sort of student essay competitions or presentations, and those get put up separately a lot of times, especially since COVID. There's been a shift to live streaming a lot of this stuff and then archiving it that way, which I think is going to continue even as we're moving back into more in-person classes.
Very cool. Well, I know we could absolutely chat about pop culture all night with you. We don't want to take up too much more of your time. Before we leave, tell everybody where they can find more information about you. If you want to pitch those social media handles, and where can the people find you?
Nowhere. Go to the Department of Popular Culture website. You'll find me there. I have actively avoided social media and I'm going to keep doing so. I'm not saying I'm too cool for Facebook. I'm just saying I don't have time for it. That's all.
Totally understandable. All right. All right, junkies, where can everybody find you?
You can find me, Haley, on Instagram at 30NerdyThriving.
You can find me, Nicole, on Instagram and TikTok at Nicole_Eldridge and on Twitter, NAEldridge14.
This is Alex at ALCASNUN on Instagram and Twitter.
You can find me, Shauna Trinidad, at Shauna Trinidad on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. SHAUNATRINIDAD. Thank you so much, Jeff, for joining us. We really hope to speak to you again soon. Hope you have a great semester and hope those kids learn a lot from you.
I hope so, too. Great. Yeah. Thanks. It was nice being on.
Absolutely. Everybody, please check out our website at popculturejunkie.com. On Facebook, we are Pop Culture Junkie Podcast. While you're there, please join the Pop Culture Junkie support group where we chat all things pop culture. On Twitter, we are at Pop Junkies. Instagram, we are at pop.culturejunkies. And this just in, oh my God, we have a Patreon. Ah, it's a Patreon. Our Patreon is Pop Culture Junkie Podcast. Please support us there. If you like our show, you want us to keep being able to do this. It just starts at $5 a month at the lowest tier. You get lots of extra goofy content. It is a lot of fun.
Yeah, all the stuff you don't see here.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And please come back next week for another hit of pop culture.
Pop Culture Junkie is a production of Pop Culture Entertainment Group. So